John, please, the Gospel of John. Did I announce it yet? John chapter 15 and verse number 9. The science of friendship. I'm excited about this study tonight. I don't like to get excited about a study because you have certain ways of causing me to lose my excitement in a hurry. Yawning and sleeping and looking around and so forth. So I'm not going to look at you. I'm going to preach by faith tonight that you're out there. And John chapter 15, verse number 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Now I want you to notice the progression here. He said, the Father loved me, I love you, you love each other. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. He said, if you want to live in my love, he said, you do what I say, and you can abide or live in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now we are talking about love, and I want you to notice in a few minutes. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now he said that the Father loved him, and that he loved us as the Father loved him, and we're supposed to love him as he loved us. And Now let's notice what love is. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. That's not talking about people who are his friends, but people to whom he is a friend. Greater love hath no man than this. Now, how do you show your love? That you lay down your life. Now, I'll come back to that after a while, but that's the way you show your love for his friends. And now he says, who are the friends? You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now that's the only verse I'm going to read tonight. I'm just going to talk to you about friendship in the light of what these passages teach us. Our Father, thank you for this Word of God and this portion of it. Thank you for this wonderful subject we're going to study tonight. I guess what I think is probably the most vital subject about human relationships, this matter of friendship. I cannot begin to tap the surface of this. No way I can begin to teach it. Just a little bit of it. Help us to do so properly and help us to learn therefrom. In Jesus' name, amen. Follow me carefully. First statement I want to make about friendship. You mothers don't get mad when I say this, because after a while you'll feel better about it. And you lovers, don't get mad. You brides and grooms and fiancés and husbands and wives, don't get mad when I say this. You'll feel better about it after a while. You children, don't feel bad now when I say this, because after a while you're going to feel better. But I want to make a statement. Start off with, friendship is the greatest of all loves. Friendship is the greatest of all loves. That's what the Bible says. Greater love has no man than this. That a man lay down his life for his wife, no, for his husband, her husband, his husband. So you got me doing it now. And for her husband, no. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his mother, no, for his father, no, for his brother, no, for his sister. Good night, who would do that? But greater love hath no man. There's no greater love than friendship. Now, please don't leave me, because tonight I'm going to help you. There's no greater love. The greatest of all loves is friendship. Now, I want you to notice how that greatness of love is expressed. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life. Now, you say, Brother Hiles, I guess that must be true. If a person would die for somebody, that's the greatest love. That's not what it says. It does not say, greater love hath no man than this, than a man die. Doesn't say it. Said lay down his life. Now Jesus explained that when he said, he that seeketh his life shall lose it, but he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He's not talking about dying for somebody is the greatest love, or dying for a friend is the greatest love. He's talking about laying down your life for your friend's life is the greatest love. It means this. It means when you come to the place to where you are a friend, and you say it's not my joy but his, not my happiness that matters, but His. It's not my life, but His. It's not my health, but His. It's not my desires, but His. That means that real friendship is when you decide to lay down your life for the life of the friend. And I want you to notice this also. It says, giveth his life for his friend. Don't miss this. Didn't say, greater love hath no man than this, that a man exchangeth his life with a friend. Doesn't say that. It says, giveth his life for a friend. Carnegie has a book out, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It is utterly impossible to win friends. You don't win friends. Friends give themselves to you. And to say, let's be friends, I get this carefully, to say, let's be friends is utterly impossible. For if you say, I'll be your friend if you'll be my friend, you just lost the main ingredient of friendship, and that's laying down your life for a friend. You cannot agree with anybody to be friends. You can't do that. Because if you don't, friendship is not bargained. It is. It doesn't say, I love you because you love me, or I'll love you if you love me. It says, I love you because I do. I just love you because I love you. Now, friendship is given and not exchanged. Let me illustrate what I mean. We won't turn to it, but in Matthew 26 and verse 50, Jesus is talking to Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot is betraying the Savior, and the Savior calls him his what? Friend. Now, God knows that Judas Iscariot wasn't a friend of Jesus, but Jesus was a friend of Judas Iscariot because he gave his life and died and rose again for Judas Iscariot. So, friendship, by the way, you can't say we're not friends anymore, because if you're not friends anymore, you weren't friends at all. Friendship, it says, he that giveth his life. Now, that giveth means that it's a gift. You don't take back a gift, or it's not a gift. A gift is a permanent possession that once was yours that now belongs to somebody else that they got without price or without earning it. So, listen, the whole world is wacky except me about this matter of friendship. And a few of you, but you're a little bit wacky. But we have got the foggiest idea what friendship is. I used to be his friend. No, you didn't. He was once my friend. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. The Bible said he giveth a gift his life for his friends. Now, that means that friendship is not impelled by your needs, but the needs of the object of the love. In other words, if when you're somebody's friend, you will not even think about their supplying your needs. Husbands, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Let me say it again. If you are somebody's friend, it will not enter into your mind whether or not they supply your needs. Wives, did you hear that? Did you hear that? If you are your husband's friend, it will not even enter into your mind whether he's supplying your needs. I am sick up to here of hearing people in my office say, well, I don't love him anymore. He just doesn't fulfill my needs. I want to reach out and slap you in Jesus' name. What kind of kindergarten substitute synthetic love is that? Lay down his life. I hear it, I hear it, I hear it. Well, my wife, she doesn't satisfy my needs. You haven't graduated from the K-4 yet. I'm saying the Bible does not say that friendship is getting anything. It is giving. It is the laying down of your life for the object. That means that what they do for you is not the issue. What you do for them is the entire issue. You know, I could save myself an awful lot of work if you'd listen to what I'm saying tonight and what I'm going to say. I could save myself an awful lot of counseling with you people that come to my office that you don't need to come. If you just listen to what I'm teaching tonight, it'll settle the whole thing. Your problem with your marriage is selfishness. And I'm not talking about your wife. I'm talking about yours. I'm not talking about your husband's. I'm talking about yours. I say so often, oh, I won't go into that. I'm getting off the subject. But I want to say this. The honest truth is, our concept of people come to church here. And they say, Brother House, we just love you because you satisfy our needs. And I want to do that. But that's not friendship. Friendship is when your needs are not the issue. The needs of others are the issue. So I'm simply saying that friendship is given. Let me go back again. Wives and husbands, why don't you grow up and be Christians? The average husband in this room is not his wife's friend. I'll go a step further. I'd be surprised if 25 husbands here are friends to their wives. And I'd be surprised if 25 wives are friends to their husbands. Your fussing is all wrapped around the fact that you're not getting what you want, and that is light years from friendship. Now I got to hurry because I got some other things that are more important. I said, number one, I said friendship is giving your life, not dying. I said next, friendship is giving, not exchanging. Let's be friends is impossible. Winning friends is impossible. I love you because I do. It's not impelled by your needs, but the object's needs. Number three, listen carefully now. Wait. Is this love, you say, greater than husband and wife love? Come on now. Don't leave me. This is the crux of it. You say, Brother Howes, are you telling me that friendship love is deeper than husband and wife love? I'm telling you that husband and wife love that is not first friendship love will not stand. I'm saying that husband and wife love is not Bible love. Bible love is friendship. Listen to me. Bible love is friendship. Didn't say greater love that hath no man than this, that he smooch with his wife. Greater love hath no man, person than this, than that she makes love to her husband. No, it doesn't say that. It says, greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life. That means you lay down your desires. That means you lay down your own appetites. That means you lay down your own goals. That means you lay down your own joy. That means you lay down your own happiness. Why? For the object of your friendship. I'm saying that husband and wife love. Okay. You say, Brother House, is this greater than parent and child? Now, listen carefully to me. Listen carefully. The average parent in America does not love his child. And I'll guarantee you that most of the people in this room, right, don't throw anything at me, because I'll throw it back at you. But don't throw anything. But the average parent in this room tonight does not love his child. You laid down your life. You love the child because the child is cute. Or because the child is yours. Or possessively. I can tell you when the test will come. When the child becomes a junior hire. Let me see you Gucci Guim then. Now I'm saying, hear me carefully. I'm saying that the only true love that a marriage has is its friendship. The kind of love that lays down its life. And the only true love that you have in your marriage, I said true love, the only true love that you have in your marriage, yes it is the friendship love. All the other loves are selfish loves. I hear it. Well, we fuss because she doesn't clean my house. Or she doesn't cook good meals. Or he doesn't come home on time and the food's all cold. Or she doesn't satisfy my needs. In the world. Some of you young men, you're going to be preachers one of these days. You're going to be pastors one of these days. You don't know how to love. You don't even know what friendship is. I'm saying the only true love in a marriage is friendship. You take the friendship out of your marriage. What is friendship? Laying down your life for somebody else. You take that out of your marriage and you don't have any true love in your marriage, you take friendship out of your marriage, listen carefully, it's no more than a man and woman over here prostituting in Tayman City. You take true love out of a mother or parent-child relationship, and you don't have any true love. If you take friendship out of the parent-child relationship, and you don't have any true love in that relationship. It's all agape. I'm sorry, it's all phileo. It's all selfish love. You take true love out of true friendship, out of a brother-sister relationship, and there is no true love in that relationship. The honest, simple truth is the only true love that exists is called friendship. Friendship is the only pure love in the world. Now that leads me to the next thing. You say, Brother House, should I love my friend more than I love my wife? Well, your wife should be a friend. If she's not, your marriage won't last. You, Brother House, am I supposed to love my friends more than I love my husband? You're supposed to be a friend to your husband. I'm saying you should be a friend to your husband. What's a friend? Lay down his life. Hear that? Lay down his life. He's not filling my needs. She's not filling my needs. I'm just not getting what I want out of this marriage. I'm just not fulfilled. Why don't you come to altar like an alcoholic should and get right with God? Show me a place in the Bible where anybody is supposed to live for his own needs. He that seeketh his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Forget yourself. You be a friend to that wife. You be a friend to that husband. Boy, I wish I could slap you and wake you up right now. Boy, I'm teaching you some stuff right now that'll change your life. But the truth is, you'll sleep through this and yawn through this and listen to part of it. And then you'll be in my office within a year, having troubles. Listen, 99% of rebellion in our teenagers' lives could be cured if moms and dads and teenagers were friends. You're supposed to be your teenager's friend. Oh, they're driving me crazy. Well, then go crazy for them. What is a friend? Lays down his life. Greater love hath no parent than this, than lay down his life for his child. I'm not saying die for the child. I'm saying lay down your life for the child. Greater love hath no parent than this. Greater love hath no child than this, than lay down his life for his parents. Greater love hath no brother than this, than lay down his life for his sister. Greater love hath no husband than this, than lay down his life for his wife. That means lay down your desires, lay down your appetites. Bear your own needs, bear your own desires, bear your own fun, bear your own pleasure, and find your pleasure in their having pleasure. I was talking to one of the preachers coming back from the Philippines. I think it was Dean Miller. And he was saying, Brother Hiles, I wish I could get where you are in this matter of love. He said, talk to me about love for a bit. And I did, and about friendship. And I said, hey, wake up. Good night. Wake up back here. Holler amen one service and sleep the next. Listen to me carefully. I said, Dean, I said, the honest, simple truth is I enjoy our high school basketball games tremendously. He said something like this. Do you go to all the games? I said, haven't been to one all year. He said, what are you talking about? And I said, I've laid down my high school basketball game so our people can have a basketball team. I stay in my office and keep this thing going around here so you can enjoy basketball. You sit at the house, you never have the fun of going to basketball. I go to every game vicariously through you. I do things, I enjoy things I never get to do because I do them vicariously because... Forgive me for sounding pious, but I've laid down my life for this church. Don't you? Looks like to me, after I've been your pastor 35 years almost, looks like a few of you ought to grow up. We could cancel all your marriage counseling sessions if you'd listen to what I'm saying right now. Right now. All right, now follow me. I said, the greatest of all loves is friendship. I said it's given, not exchanged. Well, I said, this love is greater than the husband and wife love. It's the only true love that is in any relationship. I said, you should befriend each of these. Now listen carefully. You must choose to be a friend to them just like you choose to be anybody else's friend. Now hear me carefully. That they must come, and this will transform your marriage tonight, young people. That they must come when you look at that wife and say, she's my wife, now I'm going to be her friend. The day must come when you say, he's my husband, now I'm going to be his friend. What does it mean to be a friend? Laying down your life. You've got, just because you had a baby doesn't make you a friend of that baby. You choose to be a friend of that child. You choose to be a friend to your mother, your father, your son, your daughter, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, just like you choose to be anybody else's friend. Right up there sits our baby girl. She's not a baby anymore, but she's a girl. She's not a girl anymore. She's not a baby girl. She's an old lady. But there sits our baby girl. Now, she has been our daughter for 34 years. Most people who have 34-year-old daughters don't love them. You know why? Because they've never chosen to be their friend. I am no more her friend because she has my name than I'm your friend. Brother Johnny, I'm your friend. I chose, and I'm also going to kill myself on this microphone, I chose to be your friend. Now, I had to choose the same way for that girl up there. Hear me carefully. These mother, daughter, mother, son, father, daughter, father, son, husband, wife, brother, sister, these are relationships, but friendship is not a relationship. It is a mortar that holds all relationships together and without which all relationships will crumble. You know why some of you folks have adult brothers and sisters you don't get along with? Because you're not their friend. What's a friend? Lay down his life. You know why some of you have parents you can't get along with? Because you've not chosen to be their friend. What's a friend? Lay down your life. And you must choose tonight. Why don't you, right now, why don't you say, I am going tonight to choose to be my husband's friend. Look, fellas, when you stood up here and I pronounced you husband and wife, fellas, you looked at her and you weren't drooling because you were unselfish. That slobber was going down your chin. It was not because you were laying down your life for her. You wanted to get her alone. And nothing wrong with that. But you will not build any relationship on selfishness. And until you get true love in all these relationships, it'll be just like a bunch of bricks stacked up out here without any mortar between them. It's going to crumble. Most parents are not friends to their children. You see with the hounds. I try to be a friend to my son, but he won't let me. He can't keep you from it. All the king's horses and all the king's men can't keep you from being a friend to your son, daughter, brother, sister, husband, wife, brother, mother, father, anybody. I'm saying you should be a... these others are relationships. Mother and child is a relationship. It will crumble unless it's held together by friendship. Husband, wife is relationship. Brother, sister is relationship. Pastor, people is relationship. Teacher, pupil is relationship. But no, hear me now, no relationship is going to stand unless the truest of all loves and the only pure love, which is friendship, holds that relationship together. Listen carefully. I would suggest you, Howells Anderson College young people going to get married, I would suggest you never walk the aisle until first you have laid down your life for your bride. I would suggest that you, young ladies, never walk the aisle and get married until first you've laid down your life. What does it mean? It means he's your friend before he's your husband. She's your friend before she's your wife. your entire attitude, outlook, spectrum of life can be transformed before we leave here in about 20 minutes. If you will stop and realize that you are not going to hold any relationship together without the mortar of friendship, and that friendship is the only pure love in that relationship, and it is the laying down of your desires and your wishes and your pleasure and your fun, and all you think about is what does he need and what does he want and what is best for him and what can I do for him, and it never enters into your mind what he can do for me. And I'll tell you, that's why our marriages are crumbling. That's why you don't get along with each other. That's why our churches are splitting. That's why our sons and daughters are hating their moms and their dads, and moms and dads are disgusted with sons and daughters. We have not yet learned that the only thing that holds human relationship together is friendship. And friendship is laying down your life. But you must choose to do it. You must say, I choose to be his friend. I choose to be her friend. If some of you teenagers would do that, you wouldn't be fussing with your sister and brothers all the time at home. And that's wicked and vile and rotten and satanic and hellish. And don't you come up here, teenage soul, and talk about how good a Christian you are, and you can't get along with your brother and sister at home. You're a dirty hypocrite. I'm simply saying that you don't love. The truth is, you love yourself.
Well, she used my curlers.
Now listen carefully. Her hair, you are not her friend till her hair is more important than yours. You know what it said? Did you hear what it said?
She wore my skirt.
You're not her friend. Listen to me now. You're not her friend. And that's why until you would rather her wear the skirt than you. You remember the old story? Little kid was in school. Teacher said, trying to teach a child. First grade math. Said if you had mom and dad and two children, four in the family, and you have a pie, how many pieces would you cut the pie into? And the little boy said, three. She said, no, son, no. You got four in the family, one pie. How many pieces of pie would you cut? He said, three, because mom would say she didn't want any. And there are the old-fashioned mothers. Listen carefully. The old-fashioned mothers would rather have their child have the pie than them have the pie. You know why? Because there was a day when America knew how to be unselfish and knew how to lay down our lives for other people. Brother Howes, that doesn't sound like much fun to me. If it sounds like, if you're trying to have fun, go to the loopity-loop and ride the roly-roll. You're going to be a good Christian, lay down your life for your friends. You're going to be a good Christian, lay down your life for your wife, your husband. You're going to be a good Christian, lay down your life for your son, your daughter, your mother, your father. Some of you are going to go home and say, Mama, did you hear that? You didn't even begin to get what I'm talking about. If you're even thinking about your mama hearing this right now, you're light years what I'm saying. And I want to say this too. This Bible is not written for people 50 and over only. And this Bible is not written for people 30 and older only. And this Bible is not written for people 18 and up only. If you are 6 years old and you're a child of God, this Bible is written for you and you're supposed to obey it. Now, here's the wonderful thing about friendship. It's available to everybody. The only child can't be a brother, but he can be a friend. The only child can't be a sister, but he can be a friend. A single adult can't be a wife, but she can be a friend. A single adult can't be a husband, but he can be a friend. A childless couple can't be parents, but they can be friends. Let me repeat. Friendship is the greatest of all loves. Now listen carefully. Friendship was not basically given to stand alone. Friendship was basically given to cement relationships to each other. Well, you say, Brother Howes, I'm your friend. Yes, I know. You know why? You know what that's given for?
if you're my friend, that's to cement our relationship as pastor and people. I'm saying friendship was never meant to stand alone. Any more than you go out here and put a glob of mortar, try to live in it. Mortar is not a building material. Mortar is that which holds building material together. Friendship was never meant to be alone, because friendship was not made to be alone. Friendship was made to make every relationship you have as rich as possible. If tonight, you could stop and realize the greatest love in the whole world is friendship. Because greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life. I sit in my office. Oh, I wish something would click in some of you tonight. I sit in my office and counsel with couples. Well, he's not mature. He doesn't appreciate me. You don't know any more about love than I do how to get a permanent. Please forgive me for saying it. That kind of garbage is, if there were a love pathfinder department, you'd be in it. You are retarded emotionally. Retarded. You're an imbecile. You're an idiot. You're dumb. Stupid. I get paid for calling you this. Not much, but some. Now you listen to me. This kind of stuff that says, well, I am disgusted with him. I am disgusted with my mother and father. They just don't know how to treat me. Well, bless your little backslidden, carnal, wicked heart. You don't even know what love is all about. You're supposed to be your mom and dad's friend. And as their friend, you laid down your life for them. Just as much as Jesus vicariously died for you, you're supposed to vicariously live through those that you love. Look at me in Outlaws. I don't do anything that you think is fun. Nothing. I don't go to the amusement parks. I went one time and rode a few of those things with our teenagers and gave it up for Jesus. Larry Weller was driving me, and I saw that big old, used to call them the lightning, what they call them now, roller coasters. I said, Larry, I feel like a woman's about to have a baby. I know it's going to be okay, but I've ridden it. And I don't go to amusement parks. I don't throw baseballs at little pins and bottles, try and knock them down so I can get a little doll I can buy for half the price cost of the ball. I don't play Nintendo. I don't go bowling. I don't go golfing. I don't go to parties. I do too. Listen carefully. I enjoy everything you enjoy that I enable you to enjoy. I love to sit in the motel room some night somewhere, and I say, well, it's about 9 o'clock at home. There's some couples bowling in the bowling lanes. The college. There's some playing golf. There's some eating at the Liberty Square. There are some that are sitting in the dating hall. There's some that are eating in the fireside room. There's a high school basketball game going on. Hundreds of our people are out there watching the basketball game. There's WMS Circle having a meeting or a party. And there's a youth activity, and our teenagers all somewhere having a big time. And I sit there in that stupid motel room and live it up. You know why? Because all the things that you enjoy, I have to enjoy vicariously, or you wouldn't get to enjoy. If I played golf every week, went bowling, went to parties, picnic a lot, I couldn't keep this monster steered, or this steer monster. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And I'll guarantee you, I laugh as much or more than anybody in this room. Because the greatest joy you will ever have is when you laid down what you would enjoy doing for the joy of enabling many others to do it. Just in case you'd like the young folks getting married or just got married, just in case you'd like for it to last, you choose to be her friend. That means you lay down your life. You choose to be his friend. That means you lay down your life. You choose to be a friend of your mom. That means you lay down your life. You choose to be a friend of your dad or your brother or your sister. That means you lay down your life. Well, you say that sure does sound boring. If you worry about something being boring, you haven't gotten a start yet. Whether it's boring or not, it's not the issue. Whether they are bored or not is the issue. Now tonight you ought to pick up the old trowel and dip it down in the mortar of friendship and put it between the bricks of your relationship. And until some of you folks getting married right up here, got married this summer or during Christmas holidays or soon, some of you folks, it is not going to last. And the reason 95% of them won't last is because you became her husband, she became your wife, but you never became friends. What does that mean? That means if the house is not clean when you get home, clean it. That means if she hadn't got you supper fixed when you get home, cook her supper. You, that doesn't make sense. I expect it to you. If I could take you tonight, and look, if I could get you to believe what I do, have taught tonight, I'd have time to play golf. Because you stinkers will come right to my office. Could we make an appointment? We're having marital problems. And I'm going to see you because I love you. You do what has been taught the last 40 minutes in this room tonight, and you won't be there. And what I'll do, I'll patch it up and patch it up because I've got to take two selfish people to patch them up so you can make it another month or two. And I'll patch it and patch it and patch it. And I'll do it because I love you, and I'll work at it. I'll give you all a bunch of cute little things to do. Have a date every week and smile at her every morning and put on makeup every first get up and don't wear a greasy house coat when he comes in and be home on time. All that's patchwork. But we wouldn't need that because you would think of that yourself if you ever became friends. What is friendship? Laying down your life. You say, I love her enough, I'd die for her. She doesn't need that, though your insurance would probably beat what she's got. She doesn't need, a dead man can't pay the bills, a dead man can't pay the rent, a dead man can't bring home the bacon. Lay down your life. Quit being so selfish. The greatest love in the world is not husband and wife. It is husband and wife, friends. Greatest love in the world is not mother, daughter. It's mother, daughter, friends. Father, son, friends. Brother, sister, friends. Here is the mother, and here is the daughter. Unless you get something in between that to hold them together, it's going to crumble. Here is the brother. Here is the sister. Unless you get something, a mortar to hold that together, it's going to crumble. I close again by repeating. I close by repeating what I said before. Friendship is not a relationship. All these others are relationships. Friendship is the pure love without which no relationship can continue to exist. And if you want that kind of friendship, you'll never have that kind of relationship because your very wanting it is diametrically opposed to what friendship is all about. Won't you look at him tonight? Just look at him. He doesn't have a tithe of the hair he had when you met him. He's got 10 times as many pounds as he had when you met him. You say, do you mean I'm supposed to let him run over me? You are getting warm. Because if he enjoys running over, then let him run over you. Some of you guys shaking your head right now, and you ought not to be doing it. Well, my wife treats me like a hussy. Okay, if she enjoys being a hussy, let her be a hussy. You say, Brother Howell, that's not natural. Well, neither is the book I got it out of. It's time for our business meeting.